All right, who else is on with us?
Mark.
Brian, Mike, and Esther. Mark, what's going on?
I'm sorry.
Aaron Rose.
Hey, Aaron.
Hey, babe.
Hey.
There are going to be a lot of beeps here for another minute or two. Hey, did everybody find the weekly update page okay?
Yes.
Yes, I did.
Yes, sir.
Nice and easy, right?
Yeah, Mike, that was going to be the first question I asked.
Okay. Let's give it a minute.
Anybody else had the same question?
I'm sure.
Hey, Tom here.
Hey, Tom.
How you doing?
Good, are you?
Pretty good. Heading off to South Carolina tomorrow for my mom's funeral.
Yeah, I'm sorry. When did she pass?
2 days ago.
Sorry to hear that.
Well, not unexpected, you know, but yeah.
Well, still hard.
Yeah. But when I'm down there, I'm going to be doing some stuff because I can do it anywhere, right? So.
Yep. Yeah, man, I tell you, that's one. If you need to get away, you know, sometimes getting into work is a good little escape, but, you know, take care of. And you obviously you'll handle it, right? Take, you know, whatever you need to do there with the family, so that's tough.
Yeah.
Mike, I found it in weekly updates. You'll be getting mine right now.
Okay. Yeah, I'm going to send out another email today, so. Hey, Knife.
How are you?
Good, are you?
Better.
You're fantastic, man. We all know it.
Trying hard.
Trying leads to succeeding. Hey, so, yeah, Brian, you want to kick us off? People can just keep chiming in as they want, but weekly updates, everybody. So we'll send out a reminder email on Fridays. And hey, Chad, you just log in. Many of you found it. Not everybody did, so I'd like to get those updates. I'll send out another email this evening or this afternoon or tomorrow morning. But, yeah, log in, not into FreedomSoft. Log into the coaching center. So the Real American Wealth logins that you have. It's right above the steps, 1 through 5. It's on the left side of the page. It says weekly update, and it's just a quick form you fill out. Again, two things. Helps us track where you're at, right, for the input side of this whole thing. Number two, these are the numbers that you want to get in the habit of tracking. How many leads came in? How many buyers came in? How many phone calls did we make? How many contracts did we write? Did we submit, right? How many offers got accepted? Call them the KPIs, key performance indicators.
Mike,
so,
since we started a while back and this thing just came in, when do we, you know, the number of leads
just
generated and stuff, where do we start that off?
Just throw where you're at. Yeah, just throw where you're at. We're not going to go back in time. Rob and I were just putting our head together on, you know, if you can't make it to office hours, we still want to know where you're at, right? Because life
right.
happens and not everybody can make everything, and I don't always get a full update from everybody. So we said, hey, let's automate it. You can just go in, punch the numbers in quick, take a few minutes on Friday. Plus that secondary benefit, building the habit, you know,
mm-hmm.
when you're moving forward, you want to track what's going on in your business, whether you're doing it or your team, so it'll automatically set those up. So, yeah, just start where you're at. Total number of leads generated,
okay.
all that good stuff. So, yep.
Okay.
Yeah, if you haven't done that yet, log into, again, the coaching center, not into FreedomSoft, log into the coaching center. It's above the steps 1 through 5 that everybody's working. Left side of the page says weekly update. Click it. You just simply fill out the boxes on the form there and click submit at the bottom. All right. So, Brian, you were on first, man. Questions, updates?
Right. Yeah,
two markets going? Good stuff.
We don't have too much going between now and last Thursday. The one thing we did on Friday was kind of finish up all the stuff we had skip traced for Louisville.
Yep.
Buyer who I kind of is setting up the stuff for, he does like that one house as a buy and hold and thinks there's some long-term opportunity there because he thinks that neighborhood's going to continue to grow and turn.
Yep.
So that was positive news. Again, kind of the systems going with those guys and having them help us out with some validation stuff.
Do you have that deal under contract?
No, she was getting me the payoff statement. And,
that's right. That's right.
What I wanted to do was set up, because it's not really that relevant. I just want to know if I can fit any margin in for her.
Right.
So I actually just sent her a message before the call saying, hey, how are you doing on your end? I do want to talk to you over the phone so you get an understanding of how we work and how we can help you. So let me know when that's going to happen this week. And my take on it, you know, we found her. There's not a crazy amount of margin in there, but I do think I can get some buyers interested really quickly in her property.
Yep.
We're the one helping her, not the other way around. So I'm not going to push too hard when she's ready to match energy and have that conversation. There's just a few
Absolutely.
Gaps that I really need to figure out as far as
right.
if she's tried so far, has she listed it with a realtor, to her knowledge,
right.
what condition. So I do need to get on a phone. Typical, I'm assuming this is a millennial. Like, he'll text back and forth all day long, but won't hop on the phone. And sometimes that's my problem, too. You know, maybe I need to just say, hey, let me email you a list of questions. Can you fill those out? And then we'll go from there. So,
right, right.
So, yeah, that's where I'm at with that one. But
okay.
Aaron and I are actually working diligently. We've already started working on setting up our buyers list. We did all the training videos this morning and are getting that going in case our
yep.
pocket buyers aren't going to bite on this. We want to be able to get it out to as many people as possible.
Yep.
And then I don't know. I think somebody else mentioned this. We haven't heard from our VA in about 4 days. So I think there's some type of earthquake or something in the Philippines.
Okay.
So we are going to hire somebody else to fill in the gaps on our Louisville. In the meantime, we've got plenty of Pittsburgh leads to work. So we're going to get real focused on getting on the phone. And our goal is to work through 100 new leads. Not rest on trying to get this one done. Let's go find the next one. And worst case, we got 2 deals under contract by the end of the week.
Cool. So big phone week, and sounds like an alternate
Paul
VA
Martin
plan
here.
B. Beautiful.
Yep, so no, that's exactly effort and phone calls. That's something that we can do very well. So.
Okay. Good stuff. Who else is on steps 3, 4, and 5?
I am shockingly excited right now.
Let's hear it.
I just started making phone calls. I think I called 4 different houses, and I've got 2 ladies that want to sell me their house in Jacksonville.
Check that out.
I'm like, I almost can't even believe it. How easy.
I love it.
And I have a guy on the ground. My bird dog is also on the side, building inspector, so he's going to go look at both of these places for me tomorrow, see what's what. One of them, the mother died a year ago. She said it's very livable. She hasn't done anything with it. The other one is condemned because of a fire, and she hasn't
okay.
done anything with that. So they both have, you know, obviously different angles to take. But both people very open to discussion and, like, calling me back and excited that I'm reaching out to them.
Love it.
I'm in shock, actually. Tom Dickey, you out there?
Yeah, Tom's on.
Are you there, Tom? Yeah, I had breakfast
yeah,
with
I'm
Tom
here.
This morning. Hey, Tom, yeah. So
yeah, we had coffee.
Yeah,
breakfast
coffee.
Club.
So just this stuff. I just started making phone calls at 3:30. 2 people.
Yeah.
Like,
awesome.
I'm freaking out how easy that was.
Yeah, and some people are freaking out that it was that easy, and they're saying, "Wait a minute." Where are my two people that want to sell in 4 talking to 4 people?
Keep
so
thinking.
Hey, this is how it works. You know what? You never know what snag you're going to bump into, when you're going to hit it. You know, we just keep pushing forward. You know, over time, you know, obviously, Paul, you're not going to have 2 motivated sellers in every 4 conversations, but it's a great way
yeah,
to start.
Sure,
so,
yeah.
yep,
All right.
good stuff. So, how motivated are they?
The one just said, make me an offer, and if it's reasonable, I'll take it. And the other one says, I have no idea what it's worth because it's burnt, so I have no idea. She didn't seem so savvy, but she was interested that I would take
yeah.
it off her hands.
Yeah, so you're getting somebody on site in both tomorrow, you said?
Correct.
Yeah, so we'll be looking for what you find on Thursday, because fire damage can be an interesting one. I mean, it can be limited to the kitchen, or it can be three quarters of a house. And but yeah, man, it's a great, you know, here's the thing. She obviously doesn't know what to do with it, or whoever the owner is, because the house is under fire. It's just been sitting there for some length of time. Like, where do I even start?
Right.
So
yeah, she's the power of attorney for her grandfather.
Okay. Cool. Yeah, so get, you know, when are you going back on the phone with both? After the walkthroughs tomorrow?
I still have to set those up to determine the exact time, so I'll be on with them probably later this evening to confirm what time my guy can meet them. They're both willing to show it tomorrow. I just
gotcha.
I was late to this phone call because I was on the phone with them, and I just rushed to the phone here after that. I hung up, but my guy already
gotcha.
Said he's available tomorrow.
Okay. Yeah, that's a great next step. You know, obviously take videos or pictures at a minimum. A quick little video is a decent way to get, you know, to get your eyes on it too.
And I was going to tell him that, but his idea was, yeah, I'll make videos and pictures and put them on a Google Drive for you. I'm like, that's
yep.
exactly what I would say to you.
Yeah, Dropbox or some kind of shareable drive where you can jump in. Perfect. So, yeah, good stuff, man. You've got a couple on the line here, so. Yeah, that's exciting. Love it. How many more skip trace leads do you have that you haven't been through yet?
I went through 8 of the 204 I think I have right now.
Okay, so you've got some phone work.
Right, I have 53 skip trace. Ironically,
gotcha.
Tom Dickey's VA is my VA in Bangladesh. How funny is that?
Yeah, I got that email. That was funny.
Yeah, she said she did a good job for Tom, and apparently she's doing a good job for me.
Yep,
again,
cool.
The first, there was a lot of viable numbers there. So she's got, I've got another 150 to send her. At this
okay,
time.
Perfect. Yeah, so, you know, stay on the gas here. This is going to be a combination now of, you know, working these two deals. Obviously, if you have questions, shoot them in. But it sounds like there's some decent motivation here. So don't put a ton of time into them yet. But you're going to want to have an idea. What do ARVs look like in the area? What do you think they rent for? You know, you obviously, most of the due diligence goes in post-contract when you actually have the paperwork in place. But to get a quick idea of what you think is going on down there, you know, that way you can go, I mean, you could go, you know, conversation tonight, schedule a couple walkthroughs tomorrow, get the feedback from your person on the ground. You may, sounds like one of them decent. The other one may need a local GC's eyeballs, depending on the extent of the fire damage. There are going to be different codes as well. So you're going to want somebody that is familiar with what the city's going to require, because obviously smoke damage, and, you know, it's not just remove, you know, the black 2x4s or the charred 2x4s and drywall in the house. You know, sometimes you have to go, you know, a certain, you know, perimeter around that or whatever the case. You know, if there, was there anything
right.
structural? Is it a two-story? So you'll most likely want some knowledgeable eyeballs on that one. But, yeah, that's killer, man. Keep
Yeah, go ahead. I need you guys to hold my hand about the GC and about the
– For sure.
The, about getting the proper comps, too.
Yep.
I you know, I don't have anybody else on the ground there that I know would help me there at this point.
Yeah, so, yeah, start with the tools in FreedomSoft. You know, there's the deal evaluation tools we talk about in step two. They're designed
to
be quick.
Yep.
They're designed to be accurate. Yeah, and then any questions, obviously, that's what we're here for, to
well,
walk you through this.
So. Can't handle fire damage, can you, the evaluator in
FreedomSoft? No, that one, well, you're going to get it close, and then you're going to get – you know, that's why you're going to send somebody local that's on site, because that could be, it could be very minimal, and it could be very extensive. Hard to say. You want to see that video first.
I guess my question is, is it on me to find a GC and comps, or is that something that you guys can guide me through a little bit also?
Yeah, so FreedomSoft has comps built in. Use that to start. You can comp it out in FreedomSoft. A local agent would be even better. Where you can, you know, dive into the MLS, since the nationwide MLS systems have not organized or unified at this point. So what FreedomSoft uses is a data feed. We use it as a starting point, and then if we really want to dial it in, we go to a local agent. who can pull comps for you. And at GC, you're going to want to reach out to, you're going to want to start with referrals. And so wholesalers in town, fix and flip investors, real estate clubs. Hey, who are the, can you recommend a contract, a GC for me that some of the other investors in town use, and just start asking around with the locals. Yep.
That's not rocket science.
Nope. Yeah. Start with referrals for sure. So Paul, that's good stuff, man.
Got bigger pockets as well.
You're going to have to,
would bigger pockets be a good resource for that?
Oh, the forum could be. I'm not too active in there, so I don't know exactly what goes on, but yeah, I would like if you have a buyer's list and if you have fix and flip buyers on your list, I would go to them first and say, hey, here's the deal. If you don't, okay, that's fine. Other wholesalers in the area, hard money lenders may know a good GC. Property managers will probably know trusted and reputable GCs in town, since they're
local investor
using them.
I guess
local investor meetups.
Meetups and clubs.
Friendly realtor, I'd like to find. I've done a little bit of research online for investor friendly realtors in Jacksonville, but I came up short. I didn't put a whole lot of time into it. But.
Yeah, and that one really, if you're just pulling a comp, any agent can do. At that point. But yeah, if you want to make an intro or two, it's always great to have an agent or two on site in all of your markets for little things like this. And then figure out a way to pay them. Some of them, sometimes they know buyers. You just never know. They can be valuable team members. So, yep.
I'm with you.
Yeah, good stuff, Paul. So you're going to balance now staying on new phone calls and how to handle these two, which in theory is very simple. But this is kind of the juggling act, because it's easy to get swallowed up with all your time in these two, but you've got a lot of calls to make.
Not to mention the three flips going on I have right now anyway, and the other
right.
one's from my other man.
Yep.
I understand.
Yep.
That's why I hired
somebody. Busy guy.
For me last week.
Busy guy.
Okay.
Good stuff. Yeah, good update. Who else? Steps 3, 4, and 5.
Hey, Mike.
Yeah.
Hey, it's Judah. How's it going, man?
Good, Judah. How are you?
I'm doing awesome. I just have a quick question. On myfreedomsoft.com, I want to make sure I'm in the right place, because sometimes I get a little dyslexic and I'm not in the right spot. So I'm looking at it. I'm on it right now. In terms of the coaching center, since there's not an actual tab that's called coaching center, are you referring to the classroom?
You have two logins. One is into FreedomSoft. The other is the coaching center goes to realamericanwealth.com website. The websites are not related.
Got it. Okay, that was where I was getting turned around a little bit. Thank you so much.
The steps are in the coaching center, steps 1 through 5 that we're all working, as well as the weekly update. Some new people just chimed in. If you did not fill out your weekly update yet from Friday, I sent out an email. That's going to become a weekly routine on Fridays. So log in there and get that filled out. It's just above the steps on the left side of the page.
Very cool. Yep. Thank you.
You're welcome. Who else? 3, 4, and 5.
This is Mark.
I heard Mark, so we'll get to everybody.
Okay. I am starting to get my cash buyer. I got a list.
Okay.
So when I pulled it up and it ran its thing, it says that it couldn't find any results from the last 90 days, but this is what we found within 180.
Okay. I like to go back 12 months, if you're wondering.
Oh, do you like to go back 12? Okay.
FreedomSoft, everybody, the cash buyer tool under the marketing tab, it's going to default to 90 days. If you just put in a state and city and click search, it's going to pull 90 days. But if you click the little advanced search button, then you can actually go back 5 years plus. But typically, investors who are active in the last 12 months are still buying, especially in a market like this. So go ahead, Mark. Go back 12 months at least. Yep.
Okay. So then I see that they're all over the country, right? Just like we are, right?
Yep.
So as far as calling them goes, because there's some people that are buying, average amount of 400,000 and stuff like that.
Yep.
Do I want to kind of focus more on the 100,000 and below, or just call them all?
I would start with the buyers that are sort of in your price range. But when time allows, I would get to those other ones, because you just never know. what they're doing with it.
Okay.
And if they're buying a $400,000 house, they can afford a $100,000 house where you're playing ball.
Oh, that's no lie. Yeah.
It may not fit their business model, but yeah, start with the ones that seem to be the natural fit and then call the others later when time allows. Yep.
Okay. All right. So then they're just going to update you. I've got 60 skip traced. I've called 20. I only talked to two people. One person was a definite no, and the other one was a maybe, and I have not been able to get back a hold of them. But anyway, I'm going to continue on that, you know, and start making a lot more calls this week.
Yeah, so I want I like that you have a buyer's list moving. I want to put your focus on calls first because you can build a buyer's list quick, and especially if you have a deal to sell. That can come together very quickly. So just, you know, focus on the calls and get something under contract or at least getting offers out.
Okay.
I want the majority of your time there. Sound good?
All right. Yeah, sounds good.
Beautiful. Okay, who else? Three of you spoke at once.
This is Tom. Esther.
Esther, you're next. You're on deck. Go ahead, Tom.
Thank you.
Yeah, so, a few things have been going on. I've been working and then bunch of other stuff, yeah, as you heard, but I have that guy who is interested in selling his house, one of the first good numbers I had, and my bird dog went over there and took some photos. I haven't seen him yet because he couldn't figure out Dropbox, so we're working on that. I should get him in the next hour or two.
Okay.
Overall, he looks at properties all the time. So overall, he says it's okay. Windows need to be redone. The whole place is gutted. There's no kitchen. There's no bathrooms. It's down to the studs everywhere, the entire place. There was a triplex. There was three kitchens in there. They're all gone because he was going to redo it into a single-family house, although this neighborhood is more like duplexes and rentals. So, you know, some of the stuff that he
So it's
out.
Zoned. With the zoning, could you do either? You could do another triplex, duplex, or single unit?
Yeah, I guess. I mean, usually you can turn it anything into a single family. You can't go the other direction. It's already a triplex on the
Typically,
books.
Right. That'd be pretty versatile if that's the case.
So, I mean, they can do whatever they want, and it's down to the studs. They can do whatever they want. Some of the stuff that if they wanted to keep it a triplex is already gone, like, you know, the kitchens and whatnot. Who knows what they were like. Nonetheless, I think it's probably still a deal. I just don't really have a good idea of what it's worth. You know, I'm still trying to work on the comps, and it goes all over the place. It's anywhere from, you know, 60 to 80 to 150. Some of them around there have sold for 150 when they're all fixed up single families. But it's kind of a you're on the edge of the combat zone.
Right.
Not in the combat zone, but on the edge of it. He was saying it was a declining neighborhood, so I don't know what that's supposed to mean. But generally speaking, a lot of Pittsburgh is ramping up a bit, so I don't know. So I don't know. That's where I'm at.
Yeah, this is a unique one. And most, obviously, that you buy are not going to have three options on the table. Make it a single family, make it a duplex, make it a triplex. So what would be kind of interesting here it sounds like the seller's fairly motivated, right? This is the Vietnamese seller?
Yeah.
Am I tracking right?
He's into it. He likes the idea. I mean, it's growing on him every day. So
here's what you're probably going to have to do. You know, total square footage, obviously, is a single family. Split it in half, that's a duplex. Split it in thirds, that's a triplex. This is where you may want to tap into a local agent and say, hey, we haven't met yet, but, you know, let's get off on the right foot. I need an agent there to work with. I'm an investor from out of state. I've got a seller that wants to sell, and here's what's going on with this property, and see if they could give you some insight based on the MLS with rents and values based on those three options. Because it may be, I mean, you could, maybe one stands out over the others, maybe not. But as far as, you know, from a marketing perspective, assuming you get this under contract and go to sell it, this has kind of an interesting story to it where you would almost run three sets of numbers and say this can be one of three things. You know, obviously your costs are going to go up, duplex, triplex. You know, if nothing else, kitchen, it's going to be more kitchens and baths.
Right, and it's going to be more because he tore everything out anyway. It's not like you can – I mean, the toilets are gone. There's no toilets. There's no sinks. I mean, everything's gone. It's not like you can – just harvest some of them. When you do a flip, a lot of times
it's a shell.
Tore off,
Yeah.
It's a shell.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So and so the rehab costs are going to be way higher than typical. And the windows, it sounds like he needs new windows too. The roof
right.
is the only thing that's new.
Right. Which is that's a big expense.
That's a huge expense.
Roofs
so
yeah.
but, you know,
I mean
you
plan
still,
to do
it's going to be.
You typically plan to do windows anyway on a vacant house. Most are boarded up, so that's not really a surprise
yeah.
there. So yeah, that's an interesting one. So you've got photos of it, but you haven't seen them yet. So that'll kind of be the next step. And I think it'd be smart to reach out to an agent and say, hey, you know, maybe ask around. Do you have an agent there who works with investors and see if you can pick their brain for a quick minute? Could turn into a long-term type relationship. Could just be a.
Well, how do they how do they get compensated?
It depends. Depends how you know how much they put into it and how much you work with them. The thing about it, though, is if you're going to even contemplate, here's what else you would want to do, too, is when you go to, assuming you get this under contract, when you go to find buyers, the FreedomSoft data is all single family when it comes to comps. So you're going to want an agent anyway to pull duplex or basically multi-unit buyers in the area. Hey, John, in the last couple years. So it really depends on how much work they do, Tom, to answer your question. They bring a buyer to the table, you know, you throw them on and get paid. They do some hourly stuff or, you know, that's what you'll have to figure out is, you know, up front, you don't need a whole lot of work. You really need to just sort of bend somebody's ear for a little bit, maybe have them
right.
pull some comps out of the MLS. But, I mean, you represent to an agent that gets it, most of the people they work with buy every 5 to 10 years. You're going to try and buy 5 houses a month there. So
right.
it's in their best interest to, you know, maybe put in a little bit of effort or help you out up front for the shot at that longer-term relationship. So, but
right.
yeah, it's an interesting little one, no doubt.
Yeah, that was the fourth person I connected with. So
yeah,
and
then how many other calls have you made?
None. I've been working.
Okay. Are you back on the phones this week?
As much as I can, given the circumstances, yeah.
Yeah, you're leaving tomorrow, you said?
Yeah, I'll try to make
okay.
a few calls today. Now,
okay.
right after the call now is a sweet time to call, and then down there I can make a few calls here and there, but, you know.
Okay. Yeah, you've got kind of an off week or whatever coming up, so. All right.
Yeah.
We'll plug in where you can, where it makes sense, and well, yeah. Any questions? Obviously, send them in. But this is kind of an interesting one. It's cool though. You may have a really cool story to tell on this.
Yeah,
you know,
we'll see how it goes. I mean,
yep.
he threw out $40,000 to start, and that was like, boom, you know. And so, obviously, we can probably go down a little bit anyway. We'll
yeah, because you looked it up and figured out he paid what?
He paid $8,000.
Eight? Yeah.
Yeah.
So there's most likely some room to work on that. So, cool.
Yeah.
Yeah, keep us in the loop. Anything else?
No, that's it.
Okay. Esther.
Yes, Mike. I put an ad in for Upwork, and I haven't
okay.
heard anything.
When did you post
it? Saturday afternoon, late afternoon.
Okay.
And I'm like, well, maybe on Sunday's, you know, kind of a dead day, but even today I haven't heard anything. So
was it shortened to the point or did you type a bunch?
Nope, I shortened to the point pretty much what you suggested
yep.
Friday.
Okay.
I did that. And should I repost?
Yep.
Okay.
Hey, Mike,
yeah, pull that theme.
Change the wording a little bit?
Yep. Yeah,
okay.
Shortened to the point. I don't know that you can do a – let's see. I'm trying to think if you can search people out in there. I don't remember on Upwork if you can do a search
yes,
for
yeah.
skip tracing. And so there are even people – yeah, you can do a search. I thought you could. So you can search for skip tracers and then invite them. Once you have a post up, you can invite them to review your job posting.
Oh, okay.
And that way it'll actually ping them, send them an email that they've been invited
okay.
to take a look at it.
Okay.
So
very good.
I increased the offer a couple dollars in it.
What's
and
that?
All of a sudden, I increased my offering just a few dollars. That night I went to bed and woke up and had like four or five people that wanted to.
What did you go from what, from how much an hour to how much an hour?
I think I was at 16 and I might have went up to 20. And
20 bucks an hour?
No, $20 for the whole job. I just sent them a test, like 30
gotcha.
Leads. I sent them 30 or 40 leads and just said, hey, do these 30 and I want to see how good of a job you do. And
gotcha.
The one girl asked for $22 an hour because she said she wanted 20 after she paid Upwork for her, you know, how they have to pay a certain percentage
right,
of
right.
the job.
Right. So, Esther, are you that's a good question. Are you posting to get a job done to see if they can handle it, or you're just posting for somebody?
I think I just posted for somebody.
Okay.
Posted for somebody, but I'll just post for somebody for a project, basically, I guess.
You can, yeah. What do you have hourly in there that you're paying?
I said $12, but that was like for a project.
Gotcha. Yeah, you probably the best process is really to hire two or three, and to see
okay.
who does the best. It costs you a little more up front, but it saves you money in the long run. And so, like
okay.
Darren was saying, you know, that's always the recommendation. Give it to two or three people, the exact same set of 25 or 30 leads. That way you can compare
right.
them when they come back. Yep.
Right. That was what I was intending on doing.
Okay.
And so I'll repost and see what happens. But I have another question too.
Yes.
My bird dog is really working out well. However, I'm a little concerned about the leads that it's sending me.
Okay.
And although he's sending me a lot of them, let's see, Saturday he sent me 50. But
okay.
they're all kind of like in a cluster. How does
okay.
that work? I mean, I'm thinking like it's the whole block, you know, a blighted area that nobody lives in there. Would that be a good deal? I mean, would that be a good thing?
You want the neighborhoods where there are vacant houses present, but there's also activity taking place.
Mm-hmm.
And so a great way, you know, one of the things that we talk about in step three there is have an agent pull the cash transactions for the last 12 months for your city. They can
mm-hmm.
just export them out of the MLS, and you can upload them into BatchGeo, batchgeo.com,
mm-hmm.
and that'll map out where the cash transactions are taking place.
But
so
I need a realtor, right?
You would have to have an agent pull that, yep, because you want MLS access for it.
Okay, cash transactions in the last, what, 3 months or so?
Last 12 would be ideal.
Okay.
Yep, and that's something they can pull really quick. Somebody may just do it for you. You know, you call and ask nice, or you can, you know, send them a Starbucks gift card, or somebody that knows their way around the MLS will pull that in a couple minutes. Maybe not
okay.
even that.
Okay.
And so that's a killer list, because then you can see where the actual cash activity is going. And then you tell your bird dog, hey, drive, you know, these 10 zip codes. Stay away from these four, whatever the case might be. Yep.
Okay, because this area here, I mean, I have probably, so there's probably like 15, 20 leads that he's given me, pretty much.
Same zip code?
Well, it's 4-0-1-1-2.
Go to gosection8.com and punch
uh-huh.
in that zip code. What's the zip
okay.
code?
44112.
44112?
Uh-huh.
This is the beauty of modern internet. 44112. 44 listings. 44 current rentals in 44112. GoSection8.com. So click
okay.
on those and talk to some local landlords. Hey, are you still buying here? What's the neighborhood like? An out-of-state investor. I'm working some leads in this zip code. What does it look like there? Good rental area? Just get the lowdown from the locals. I mean, these people have houses for rent there.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So, yep.
Okay. I'll do
yep.
it.
You
yeah,
just go to
good.
You just go to GoSection8.com, search for your zip code. 44
okay.
currently
yeah,
listed.
He's sending me a whole bunch of them, but, you know, they're all like in the 145, 145 block, and there's like 10 of them, and I'm thinking like, well, that's good, but does anybody live there?
Yep. See if there's, the locals will know if there's activity there.
Okay.
Go section8.com landlords and property managers.
Okay.
Yes,
I just tried that, Tom, and I just tried it and I got no results. It says, sorry, no results. 40112.
44112.
Oh, 44112.
Yep. Yeah, check with the locals, Esther. Property managers will know the area too.
Bingo.
Okay. Very good.
They'll tell you if it's war zone or not.
Yeah, because, I mean, he's sending me all this, and I'm obviously going to pay for that, but, you know, I'm not sure if I want to continue doing, you know, this. It would be good if I could find a cash buyer that wants to buy, you know, a block of houses, which would be good. But
yeah, they're out there. They're out there.
If nobody's living there, then, you know, what's the point?
People are buying property in this market at an incredible rate. So,
okay.
Yep. Or you just find a bunch of buyers and sell them all one or two or three, or either way it works. But yeah, figure out before your bird dog pulls any more from those areas, the cheapest or the cash transactions from the last 12 months from an agent would be a great map for you to see. And then call the locals from Go Section 8 and property managers about that zip code.
Okay. Very good.
Yep.
Great.
Perfect.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
You're welcome.
Mm-hmm.
Who else? Steps 3, 4, and 5.
Hey, Aaron here.
Aaron, what's happening? Aaron Rose, right?
Aaron Rose, that's me.
Okay, good. We have a couple Aarons.
Quick thing, how are y'all defining war zone?
if the locals won't buy there,
if
nobody's buying there, I mean, there are neighborhoods that, you know, people just don't go there. And that's the thing about, you know, Rob typically shows up, and this is kind of a funny story, but he really does this. He shows up in a new market, and he calls up an agent, and he said, hey, I'm an out-of-state investor. You know, if I were to ask you, where should I not buy a house in this city, where would you tell me? And then they tell him the neighborhoods, and he writes them down, and that's where he starts looking for deals.
Yeah.
So, Denver doesn't have a quote-unquote war zone. Not every city does, but there are those pockets, zip codes or whatever, where there's just nothing happening. Nobody wants to buy there. And that's why that cash transaction export from the MLS system is so valuable, because, you know, you want to see where the investors are buying. That's it. Pull the cash transactions for the last 12 months, or have an agent pull it, throw it into Batch Geo.
Now,
exactly where it's happening.
How is that similar to the
Okay. Yeah, hang on, Esther, and then, Aaron, go ahead, and then, Esther, I'll get your question. Aaron, go ahead.
Okay. That export that you're talking about from the MLS, how is that different from the absentee owner list that we pull from ListSource to put into the spreadsheet in order to calculate this?
Could be similar, but an absentee owner didn't necessarily pay cash.
Pay cash, okay. Gotcha.
Yep, so when you go to the cash transactions, that's locals and absentee, it doesn't matter. That's just pulling, you know, the people that showed up with cash, which they're not all investors, but the majority of them are.
Right.
People pay cash to live in a house too, but it's just another good list.
Is that not available from ListSource, that cash?
It could be. So it would be, you know, with it would be transactions with no lien recorded, no mortgage recorded. Yeah.
Okay.
So either way,
if you're
handy with ListSource, go there. If you want to have an agent do it, just have them pull it from the MLS.
Well, speaking of agents and on to the previous question earlier about how to compensate them, I wanted to run this by you. One of the guys that answered my bird dog ad is a young agent that just got his license, I think, last year. So he's just kind of reaching out and trying to just figure out, you know, do a little bit of everything.
Yep.
And so, you know, we talked for a little while, and he's definitely interested in partnering up, but he's not interested in the $3 per lead type deal. He's more talking like the, you know, a referral type thing. If he were to bring me a, you know, a vacant property and it's turned into something, you know, could I get a, you know, the referral type thing? And I said, you know, my gut was like, you know, sure. And then on the backside, if for whatever reason I get, you know, I get in touch with this person and they are not willing to, you know, sell at a low enough price for me to make it work in the you know, the deal analyzer, then maybe I could refer them over to, you know, to him and get,
yep.
you know, and then get a referral fee on the backside there. Meanwhile, it'd give me a, you know, a real estate agent who is local that could pull comps for me and that sort of thing.
Yep.
So I wanted to get your opinion on that.
I like it. Agents make great bird
okay.
dogs. Yeah, they don't have to be, but they, yeah, you can. And that way you can just pay them per closing.
Okay.
I mean, you can,
yeah.
you know, you can generate, you know, run some of the math. Hey, I can generate X number of leads for this. I think I'll close this many. You know, so there's like a, he, you know, if the agent just generated the lead, it's, you know, whatever, 250 a closing, 350, whatever you decide. He may bump into sellers too. The agent may bring a seller to the table, in which case you can get them paid a little more because, you know, they're actually being a part of the, you know, closing up part of the transaction for you. And then for sure
unless
that makes it great.
Unless he's going for his regular commission or whatever, you know. If he's bringing a seller, would go ahead.
Yeah, well, typically you as seller are going to, on that transaction, are going to pay. So to avoid paying a full commission would be better on your behalf.
Right.
But the other part of it is the leads that, I mean, you've got a sort of a cool sort of, what do you call it, like ace in the hole here that you said, hey, if the traditional route doesn't work, I'll just refer him your way. You may not have to pay him at all. Could just be a, you know, he gets a couple listings out of it for helping you find.
Right.
Oh,
yeah, but then
leads.
At that point, I'm gonna get the referral commission from him. If he gets the listing and the house sells, then, you know, we
well,
do a little.
Well, it could be, or you don't pay for leads.
Yeah,
so,
there
are a couple different options here.
Sure.
Yeah, whatever the two of you decide on,
well,
for sure.
So he's at, when I did my search for houses under 100,000. He's in a town that's just to the side, which didn't come up in the search because I don't think anything there is under 100,000. It's more of a beach town.
Yep.
But being that he's there already, does it make sense to have him go ahead and start exploring the vacants in that area as well and see if we can branch over into a little bit higher, you know, higher price
yeah,
range?
I would start with the lower price point just because more people can afford them. Hey, somebody's having a side conversation. Hit *6 for us so you can mute out.
Yeah, that, so I've
yes.
got two other bird dogs linked up that are
yep.
definitely in the area where I want them to be. And supposedly, I haven't gotten any leads yet, but they've told me they're in. I've sent them the areas. I actually just sent them the PDF map from Batch Geo and said, you see where these clusters of pins are? You know, go
yep.
there. Start there first.
Yep, focus there because that's actually data-driven. If you get to
right.
the point
yep.
where, I mean, if there's some activity happening and you have buyers, here's the thing. Where are the buyers buying? If the buyers are buying in this little beach town where the prices are a little higher and you can get deals tied up there, you know, flip them wherever it
well,
goes.
Well, I'm certainly
it's
not
going to
turn down any deals that come my way, you know, just
no,
they're...
but you, but wait to see that you have data there that shows you where to go
right.
because you just said you have two batch geo maps that say here's where the activity is, and that's based on data. So
right, and that's
yep.
and that's where I'm sending the other two guys that have gotten in touch with me. They're closer to those areas where
gotcha.
They live.
Gotcha.
So they're going to handle that. I'm just saying, and that brings up another point. I had a conversation with an old colleague of mine from the construction roofing biz. He's up in Montana. He's, you know, and we started talking about maybe doing some deals. And, I mean, so, the question is, you know, if you got somebody somewhere, anywhere, who's willing to look for vacant houses, is it, I mean, it's worth keeping that avenue open, right?
Depends.
Especially if that guy's a contractor and could even do.
Yeah. Yeah, it could be. I mean, yeah, that's the thing. I mean, there are deals anywhere USA, right? When it comes
right.
to, you know, you running a business, how do I go from, you know, where I'm at now to paycheck? Obviously, the success team's curriculum here is how do I go into a market that's ripe for it? So can you go into,
right.
you know, small town Montana, North Dakota, Wyoming and find deals? Probably. But you want to play the big percentages. So what I would say is, get your business established and clicking where you want it to be in the bigger markets.
Right.
Once it's there, if you've got a buddy that says, hey, I'm willing to do some legwork to try and find a deal in, and there, you know, it's just you're not relying on it for anything, and you just happen
right.
to have a relationship there, fire it up. And,
yeah,
you know,
just great.
And pursue it. But, yeah, put the focus
the
where, you know, I mean, you went through the criteria, a million-plus people, you know, deals under 100,000, that kind of thing. So put, you know, play the percentages until your business is moving in the direction you want it to go. Because
sure.
it's just going to be you've got a buddy, and then your buddy doesn't really know what's going on, and then, you know, you guys are kind of friends, so the relationship's different, can turn into a time suck.
Sure,
easy,
yeah, you don't
so.
Want to waste too much time on it.
Nope.
Okay. So then,
let me grab real quick.
Yeah,
let me. Esther had another question. I think that was on a topic we hit, and then I'll come right back to you. What was that, Esther?
Hey, it just went out of my head. I'm sorry, I didn't write it.
Oh no. Okay. If you think of it, let me know. Okay. So Aaron, yeah, go ahead.
Okay. So then, along those same lines, so meanwhile, because now that I'm back in, you know, cell phone reception and internet connection, I'm, you know, getting this thing ramped up, but I don't have any leads from Bird Dogs yet. So kind of
okay.
digging into Freedom Soft a little bit for the first
okay.
time. And I've got like, you know, there's like 4,000 some odd leads that are popping up. I guess those are like web scrape type deals. You know, how, I mean.
If you set up Lead Swiper, yeah.
Did I set that up? Because I had Freedom Soft.
Yeah,
like,
we didn't.
Maybe a year or two ago. Did one of you guys set that up?
I'd have to look. No, we didn't go in and set up
okay.
anything for you. Nope.
No? All right. Well, maybe.
Yeah, Lead Swiper isn't part of the success teams here. It's something that,
okay.
you know, you can add in once you're moving, but the focus is all going to be on vacants.
Well, this must have been
again,
from,
it's that percentage
from when
play.
I was logged in from before then or something.
Yeah,
I was
could
like,
be.
Yeah, this is
could be.
Me
where,
things that are listed.
Where are you at? How many vacants do you have in? How many vacant leads?
None.
Do you have,
no,
okay.
none. I'm just locking down the Bird Dogs like today, yesterday and today.
Okay. Do you have an ad posted?
The ad is posted. I've responded to about 15 people, and I've talked to three that are interested, and I've given the go ahead and the maps to two guys already. So they said they'd be hitting it hard, and they don't have anything else going on. So, but
okay.
I called one of them back today, and he hasn't gotten back to me on anything. So. You never know. I mean, I want to continue trying to find, you know, more people that are motivated to get out there and work. And I did make a bonus offer. You know, it's like, hey, if you guys, you know, if you get me 30 leads by 6 p.m. today, East Coast time, you know, I'll bonus you an extra $20 or whatever. But
nice.
Yeah,
just stay on that. Stay on that. Obviously, you could also downtime. You know, Freedom Soft training isn't bad, but you could also get your ad up on Upwork for a skip tracer. Just get a little
okay.
ahead of the game there. Just tell them,
and
then, you know,
and then
post the job. And yeah.
Should I at all consider, like, because I plan on going back and revisiting, you know, step one again now that I can actually sit and focus on it and,
okay.
you know, pick another city or something? Should I try to
not yet. Not yet.
Going? Okay.
Nope. Launch the first one and get it moving. Get in the middle of deals. Get offers being sent. But when you go through one city, when you go through the process one time, this is kind of that go slow to go fast.
Okay.
This will be the longest it ever takes you to launch a market, but you're going to have a couple things in place. You'll see how it all comes together. And then in the near future, if you want to go into a second, that would be fine. But yeah, get focused on this one because we don't have it producing anything yet. And we don't even have leads in the door. So that's where the focus is. The goal is 250 vacants. That's the goal. That's the task at hand right now.
Okay. So just
yep.
keep pushing. Maybe set up even run a second ad on Craigslist or, you know.
You've got to be talking to people until somebody, you know, like Esther said, 50 came in on Friday, until you find one or two people like that.
Okay.
You got it. Yep. Talk is dog. Talk is cheap. Yeah, Esther, go ahead.
You were talking about, you know, talking to a realtor and asking them to, you know, that you're an out-of-state investor, where would be the place not to go to? I
yep.
talked to a couple of realtors, and the comment they gave me is like, well, one of them told me, he says, you know, I can't do that because if I do that, I'll lose my license. And I thought, like, really? And then the others that I talked to, I must have spoken to six or seven of them, and they said, uh-huh. well, you know, we don't usually go that route. That's not a good route to go. What I really need
to
know.
They call that redlining. I've had that too.
Yeah, and I said, well, I'm not familiar with the area. That's why I'm asking. Is I don't want to invest in an area where, you know, their houses are all run down. And
right.
Well, no, we can't really go that route.
So just ask them, reword it, say which, and here's the other thing. I mean, this is typical agent response, right?
Mm-hmm.
They're just taught that somebody wants the best house in the best neighborhood that they can afford. That's what they're taught. That's
mm-hmm.
the lens they see the world through. So ask it a little different way. Say which, say what are the different neighborhoods in the area that have negative stereotypes? I'm just trying to get a feel for the area and see if they'll answer it that way. Or hang up and dial somebody else. I mean, there are only thousands and thousands of others in the area. So you're going to get some crazy answers. It's the real estate world.
Yeah, and Mike,
okay.
I'm a big proponent of get them what they want. And so I always start my conversation as I'm a big-time investor and flipper in Denver, Colorado, looking
yep.
at expanding nationally. And I have resources and people I know in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. I was hoping to get a great realtor on my team. If you can help me out, as soon as I have a listing or a flip, guess who the first person I'm going to call?
Right.
And same thing, I think that was Aaron talking. I'm a wholesaler here in town. I know you're a new agent, but if I do sell anything that looks like a flip, I will absolutely send your information at the closing table and let the buyer know that I've got a really great investor-friendly realtor that might be worth talking to. So
right.
Think about those kind of things, because I'm in a professional business where people try to waste my time all the time. And honestly, if somebody called me and said if they weren't for real, I probably wouldn't give them the time of day. So
right.
If you're not for real, pretend like you are until you are.
Lead with the give?
Exactly.
Well, everybody on here is making things happen. If nothing else, you're a part of a group that buys hundreds of houses on a yearly basis. When you pull all of us together, that's just true. We're working the same system. We talk this through. We mastermind about it. Hey, I'm a part of a group that buys in multiple cities, multiple states, multiple transactions on a monthly basis. So if you just want to build something like that into your script, even if you're new, I'm one of our newest acquisitions managers for the area, yada, 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 right? I mean, they're probably not going to dig, but it's just, you know, that's a true statement. You are a part of a group that does that and those kind of numbers. So, but yeah, Brian, great input. You know, Esther, lead with the give and see what happens. At the end of the day, this is just talking to agents, you're gonna have a couple conversations before you find somebody who you feel like is on the same page with you.
Very good.
And that,
great.
That's
Thank
just
you
typically
much.
That's just typically been our experience. Agents and investors see the world through two different lenses, and it's not going to
mm-hmm.
go away. There are very few agents in our experience who really can effectively walk both sides of the transaction and, you know, see the world through both sets of eyes. They're out there. They're just it's not super common.
Yeah, and Mike, a lot of them think we're cannibalizing what they do. In actuality,
yeah.
we are, because there's this
yeah.
big myth that you have to buy a property through a realtor, and buying
yeah.
100 properties without a realtor, I don't think that's the case.
Yeah. Yeah, you just never know who you're going to find. So, next. That's how that works.
Okay.
Very
plenty,
good.
Plenty
Great.
Out there to
Thank
talk
you.
To. Yep.
Oh,
well,
man.
3, 4, and 5.
There you know.
John, how you feeling?
What's up, buddy? Better. Better.
Good.
Yeah, man, I don't know what that was, man. It was terrible. I was just
you
like,
got run over, huh?
Yeah, yeah.
That
and today was kind of...
Something like
today
that.
Was kind of a blown day today because my grandson wanted me to come get him and check him out of school at 11, and that kind of killed my day, so I'm full of excuses today, but... I did get my executed assignment agreement back late today for that one vacant deal. So the one with the floodplain zoning thing.
Yeah.
So.
When's that meeting coming up?
The 11th of May.
Okay. So you've got paperwork in place. Now it's up to the city, right?
We got paperwork in place, yeah. Now that I have that paperwork, I'm going to get back to the seller and dog him on his other property that he has.
Right.
And try to tag that one, too.
Cool.
But that being said, so now I'm set up, man. I got to finish setting all my stuff up like I need to be doing it. And I need to finish all my skip tracing instead of trying to do it myself. So my goal is to have somebody in place by Tuesday or latest Wednesday to finish those for me because I was spending a lot of time on that.
Yeah, you're good when you're on the phone and you know how to put these together. So it's a matter of, you know, I know you knocked out some of that, but, you know, get somebody
to
handle it.
Yeah, well, I was not very efficient with it. Yeah, I've got to have somebody doing some of this stuff for me because it's killing me. So,
yep. And you're good on the phone, so let them do the, you know, the hourly task type stuff, and you jump on there and talk to sellers and put it together because you know how to do that. So,
right.
Time well spent.
Do you think I should worry about hiring somebody to make calls right now? Probably not.
Yeah, you'll kind of have to be the judge of that. But I feel like if you were doing nothing else than on the phone and putting these deals together, I feel like you'd be in a pretty good spot for another month or two.
Yeah.
Yep.
I'm just worried that I've got so much going on with the other parts of my business too that it's really distracting me. I guess I can work my way towards that is what I really need to do, but probably not.
Yep.
You know, I need to finish getting all my numbers
in place.
You know
what? I know you have a bunch of old leads too because you've been at this for a while. So, I mean,
right.
If you wanted to, even for 2 hours a day, if you wanted to drum up all those old leads, try and put some sort of organization to them and get somebody on the phone and just reach out and say, you know, hey, you know, I'm calking on behalf of
John. That's what I'm saying. I'm missing my follow-ups. And even the ones that I've called already, you know, the 40 or 50 or whatever it is I've called, I'm horrible with the follow-up. And that's not a good thing to say. But
so that would be – no, it is a good thing to say. It's honest because not everybody – right? We all have our strengths and weaknesses. So here's the thing. If you're not good at it, build a system around it. So get you out of it. If you don't like doing it, if you're not good at doing it, put a system in place because it needs to get done. So that would be a great place to have somebody start. You know, let me tell everybody, you know what's cool about vacant leads? They don't expire. I mean, you get, right, you have a lead from you have a lead from 9 months ago, and you're like, oh, I haven't called this thing for 9 months. Is it still a lead? If it's a vacant house, heck yeah. And what's not only that, what's a good chance? This thing is sat for another 9 months. If anything, the situation is worse than it was when you forgot to follow up 9 months ago, right? It's a total side note. It's another cool thing about generating vacant leads. They get better with time. It's like wine.
Yeah. Right? They'll be more ready to sell, you know, if it's still vacant.
Because they have more months under their belt of a vacant house, which is probably an issue. Anyway,
yeah.
it's just another cool thing about it.
I really think that I need to hire and train somebody to work my FreedomSoft account for me because, I mean, I totally suck at it. I mean, I'm not going to lie. And, you know, you've seen it before. You've seen all those duplicate leads I got in there, man. It's crazy. So,
could be.
What's the best way to go about that?
You've got a lot of team in your future. You'll have to decide ultimately if now's the right time. I would say if anything, get somebody on the phone with your old leads that you haven't followed up with in a long time.
Right.
We can learn some FreedomSoft as we go. Obviously, you want to be systems dialed, but closings are the name of the game.
Right.
So let's put the most of our focus there. And then, you know, then there's excess cash. Then there's money. I can pay a VA for 8 hours, I'm going to pay you. Go in and learn as much about this software as you possibly can, and then you can be my tech person. But let's keep our foot on the gas of deals. That's what I would say.
Well, do you think I should, just just see how it goes with who I end up with skip tracing, and that might be the person that I draw in to do this for me. So you
could
never
be.
Know.
It could be. Yep.
So should I? I don't know. I guess I have to make a decision whether I just buy a subscription to Intellius or try to find somebody with TLO.
Yeah, that's
like
the other thing. If you have the subscription like Rob does, you could have a VA doing multiple things. No doubt.
Yeah, I think that's probably the best way to go, and then I can hit or miss and see what happens. So.
Yep.
But that's my goal, to get that set up and then go from there, because like I said, when I start chasing the money, that's all I can think about, and everything else goes to pot. So.
Yeah, and you know what? There's at this point in time, I think it's chasing the money, and then build the systems to support what you do best as you move forward.
Right. Okay.
So, yep.
All right, man.
Well, good to have you back. Glad you're feeling better.
Yes, sir, man. Appreciate it. Thanks.
Yep. Who else?
Hello, Mike.
Yeah.
Yeah, quick question.
Yeah.
For the numbers we do send you through the website, is there a way we can because I sent you like a few minutes ago and I realized I didn't keep the numbers on my end. Would it be possible to see them or?
Not after you click send.
Not after you click send. Okay.
For the weekly update. Is that what you're referring to?
Yeah, that's what I'm talking about, yeah. When should we do it also?
Fridays.
Fridays, okay.
Weekly updates are going to happen Friday. Yeah, so if you're on and you didn't do your weekly update yet, I sent out an email on Saturday, I think it was. Log into the coaching center, not FreedomSoft. Log into the coaching center where the steps are, 1 through 5. Just above the steps on the left side of the page, it says weekly update. Fill out that form. Click submit at the bottom. So we've been talking about that lately. Just a way to automate the updates in case you can't make an office hours or that kind of thing. So we see where you're at. It's also the things in your business you want to be tracking, key performance indicators. So, yeah, so Naif, did you say you just filled it out?
Yeah, I just filled it out.
Okay, perfect.
Yeah, so
yeah, and it'll be fine if it's not 100% accurate. What we're looking to do is we'll get a weekly update. You know, we can help give some better input or just get a better picture of where you're at, how quickly we're moving through things, if you're stuck, that kind of thing. So we can be more effective on this end when communicating with you. And then also, like I said, it'll help you build the habit of what needs to be tracked. Cause you're going to want to track things for as long as you're investors. And so this,
yeah,
will,
I mean, that's one thing that after you mentioned that last week, that's one thing we immediately put into place is like, we need to track. Cause sometimes I think I'm making a lot of calls, but then I'll look at my log. Maybe I made like only 25. I thought I made 80.
Yeah.
And then
it
felt like 80 because a bunch of things happen in between. So nowadays I track every phone call I make. I download the log from my, my caller thing software I use to make sure that I actually made calls and how many hours I put it in. And just run it like a robot and worry about the rest after.
Well, and over time, it'll start to build trends. You'll get to have an idea. We go into a new market. We generate 300 leads. We skip trace. We get this percentage. We jump on the phone with those, and it'll lead to X number of closings. So it's no different with your direct mail or whatever the lead source. When you're tracking it, and now you say, hey, we want to do double the volume in the next 6 months. Okay, double the right? Typically, it's double the marketing, but now you'll know how effective you are, which marketing efforts are the most effective. You'll have the processes in place. And now from a business standpoint, you can say, okay, here's where we want to go, and you'll know how to get there. So, yep, twofold benefit. Twofold. Who else? Questions and updates? And
Chad here.
Hey, Chad.
How's it going?
Good, man. How are you?
Very well. We're doing pretty great. Start up with our numbers. I have 700 vacant leads,
nice.
160 skip traced. Last week I made about 30 calls and only talked to 2 people. Neither of them were interested in selling. But despite that, I do have 1 deal under contract because my bird dog ran into a rehabber on one of the vacants, actually. So. And he was looking to get out of it, so we got that property under contract for $7,000 as of the end of last week. So
love it. What do you think it yeah, talk us through some of the details. You have it at 7.
Sure.
Rental
yep.
or flip? What is it?
Rental.
As?
Definitely
okay.
definitely a rental. The whole block is rental, so the average rent is going for between $850 and $950.
Nice.
How
much work does it need?
He was saying about $15,000, so I went with the conservative number of $20,000. So I'm looking to sign it to a buyer for $12,000.
Okay.
So when I ran the buy and hold analysis, it's looking at a 10% ROI, cash flow of $270,000, and a cash on cash return of about 9.8 years. Does that sound pretty good?
Let me run this real quick. So you have it for 7, you want to make 12, so you can sell it to me for 19, say? Right?
Well, no, I'm going to sell it to the buyer for 12. So it'll be a 5K spread.
Oh, so you're going to make 5. I think
yeah.
I think you can make more on this than you think you can. Hang on, let's run some math. So quick rental analysis. Let's say I'm your buyer. I buy it for 12. And then it needs 20. Let's go really conservative and say it needs 25,000. So
okay.
I'm all in for 37 grand, right?
Mm-hmm.
You say it rents for 850. So I put that in the calculator. Let's take 70% of it. So times 0.7, 595 net rent. Take out 30% from gross, right?
Mm-hmm.
37,000 divided by 595. 62.18 months divided by 12, 5.18 years. That is a smoking rental deal.
Okay,
awesome. Return of cash. That's why I think you can sell it for more than 5.
Okay.
That's,
yeah, so I...
15, man, 15.
To give you a point of reference, when Rob was buying rentals, he was buying them super conservative. He wanted to get his money back between 5 and 6 years. That's 5.2 mm-hmm. years.
Right, right.
So,
wow.
And that's aggressive. A lot of buy and hold landlords, if they can get their money back in 10, 8 to 10, they're fine.
So, yeah, so it's looking pretty good. I called a few cash buyers from the FreedomSoft thing, and I didn't get any contact with anyone, so I transitioned to calling title companies. So I found 5 title companies that are investor-friendly. They're ready to go with assignment contracts out of 20 calls to get them. But my main focus now is finding a buyer, getting that list
yeah,
going.
You want to be on with either the buyers out of FreedomSoft. Go section8.com, type
yep.
in the zip code or the area, pull them and say, I've got another one for sale over here. No need to give them an address just yet. Just say, here are the numbers on it.
Sure.
Yep. Say you can pick it up for, I'm selling it for X. Buyer said it needs 15. I'm going really conservative, saying it needs 25. And here's the deal. So, you can give it. You have it under contract.
Yes.
What's your address can go out if they want to go through it. It's vacant, right?
Yes. Yep.
Okay. Yeah, you want to make sure you're in the driver's seat before you ever get a buyer through it, so they don't try and pull
right.
it out from
right.
under you. But yeah, you're in
right.
the driver's seat here. So yeah, get them over to take a look at it. I mean, so you're going to want to go to landlords. This is a smoking little rental. So property managers, you know, tell them the deal and say, hey, I've got one tied up. Let me give you the numbers on this thing. And give them that return of cash number. Buy it for
okay.
me for X. Put X amount into it, 37 grand. Rents in the area are about 850. So let's take 70% of that. Call it net rents or 595. You know, talk through the math with them. Sounds like you know what you're doing, which you do. You know, return of cash on this thing in, you know, whatever it is, under 6 years. Who do you have that's buying that? And then you can be the manager on it.
Okay.
Can you
run that formula again so I have that down?
Yep. So just add when we evaluate deals, especially when you're going to move it, you evaluate it through your buyer's eyes.
Right.
So buy price from what you told me is 12 grand. So now put yourself in the buyer's shoes. Okay, I'm going to pay 12 grand to buy it. Be ultra conservative on the fix up. So let's say it costs, you know, 25,000, worst case scenario, to fix it up. So the buyer comes out of pocket 37 grand. At closing, right?
Yep.
Now, what we're looking for is return of cash. How long to get that money back? So take gross rents, which you said was $850, times 0.7, take 70% of them. So take 30% off the top for vacancies, property management, expenses, overages, whatever. Just take 70% of gross rents equals $595 in this case. Take $37,000 divided by $595. Now, that's going to be number of months. So
gotcha.
To put it in years, just take that number divided by 12.
Okay. Perfect.
Yeah, those numbers are killer. These are the numbers, you guys. When you I mean, and what's cool about it, you're in the driver's seat. So like Gary, I don't know if he's on today, but he was on last weekend. He came across this ridiculous deal and he's like, I'm just gonna buy it. I mean, this is one of those, Chad, where you know, at some point in the future, I mean, turn this one and get paid, but you just say, wait a minute, I can buy this thing for $7,000. What you would do then is you would sell it to yourself. Right? Make the wholesale fee at closing.
Yeah.
And
pay yourself for the acquisition and then do the rehab.
Right, and then have a rental where your money's recovered in, you know, 5.2 years.
Right.
Yeah, that's a sweet little deal.
Nice, so how would I figure if 12K is too little, how do I know how much higher to go? Like what can I
What is it at 15? So 15 plus 25 is 40. 40,000 divided by 595 is 67.2 months divided by 12, 5.6 years.
Well, I was looking at average comms for the area, and that was only at like 30 to 33,000. Would a landlord put that much in over retail price?
To get their money back, that's what you'll have to find out. That's
sure.
What you'll know.
Right.
That's what you'll find out. Yep.
Yep.
So here's what you
find
can
out,
do.
Find out what the buyers want. Yep.
That's
right.
Right. And here's what you could do. If you have an agent there, have them go in to that neighborhood and that zip code and the surrounding whatever. You'll have to look at the area on a map and tell them to pull their cash transactions from the last 12 months and see what the price points are.
Okay.
Or just,
cool.
Just all sold in general and see what the price point is.
Right,
and then when you go to, you know, that's just where you're going to have to ask. See.
Right. Because
that's an aggressive return of cash.
Cool.
That really is.
I have a question.
Yeah.
How do you sell it to yourself and get the wholesale fee?
Sweet, huh? So you have
your
two positions.
Yeah. Your acquisition
business
and your buy and hold business. Yeah.
Yep. You have an acquisitions, just what he said, you have an acquisitions company and then you have a second. And so you either assign from one of your companies to the other or you double close from one of your companies to the other. And that way, your acquisitions company at the closing table. So Rob never sells a deal without making money at closing, ever.
I've been wanting to do that for so long. I just didn't know if it was legal.
Absolutely.
That's awesome.
Yep.
Mike, one more quick question for you.
Yeah, sure.
The cash buyer database in FreedomSoft, when I ran through that, obviously they come up with the name and the address, but they don't have the number.
Yep.
I looked up a couple just by a basic Google search, and I got a few numbers. But the other ones that it didn't turn up a number, we ran through TLO and still couldn't get a number, a contact number. So is there a certain strategy we need to find that number? How
if
do we
it's
go
a
about
business,
that?
If it's a business, go to the Secretary of State website.
Okay.
Yep. Because you're not skip tracing a person at this point. You're looking up a business entity most of the time. So yeah, start with Secretary of State website.
Okay. Perfect. Awesome.
Yep. Hey, Lindsay, are you still there?
Yeah.
Your next flip. When you guys own the deal, you can control the timing of the dollars. So let's say, you know, you price it out and you think it's an $85,000 payday, and you say we want to make $35,000 up front. You just do what I just said. You have two entities, and you can control the timing of the money when it comes out. So pay your acquisitions company from your flip company up front. Now you're going to pay You're going to pay a little, you know, if you have the money borrowed, you're going to borrow more. But at the end of the day, you guys can control that. And, you know, time value of money says I'd rather have X amount in my pocket today because then it's relevant. And so however you want to do that. But you should at least, I mean, your acquisitions company deserves to get paid when it finds a good deal. So, you know, 10 grand, 20 grand, you should absolutely be setting it up that way. So, anyway, side
you
note.
You have no idea how thrilled I am. I'm starting a new company tomorrow.
I love it. Yep, it's a piece of cake to set up. Go to the title company that you already know and just tell them what you're going to do, and you'll submit your articles or whatever, you know, your corporate paperwork on both sides, and it'll be seamless.
Perfect.
Yep.
Right on, man.
If you can assign it, if you can make that first contract assignable and the seller's okay with it, you can just do it that way. If not, just double close it to yourself.
Mm-hmm.
So that's all.
Awesome.
Yep. Who else has questions, updates, input?
Hey, this is Darren. One quick question, Mike.
Hey, all I heard was Darren's name, so, and then we'll get to everybody.
Hey, Mike.
Yeah.
Just a quick update today. I'm up to 74 leads.
74?
Yep, 74. Okay. And
okay.
A couple of them were duplicates, but I'm going to let. He's saying that he's getting an error when he tries to snap. He's getting like a red box or something, a red error, and he said that that's why he might be getting some duplicates because he's getting that error and having to shoot the picture multiple times.
Yeah.
Anybody else with that error?
Let me speak into HomeSnap really quick, and I'll tell you guys how Rob handles things. And this, for any of you that know him or have known him for any length of time, this won't surprise you. But all the HomeSnap issues revolve around Androids, and so Rob doesn't hire a bird dog without an iPhone. Just chiming in on that.
Yeah,
He puts it in the ad. If it's in an iPhone, he's just got to follow the steps in that doc. So if you want to pull it off the coaching center and print it. Or
yeah,
it's PDF,
yeah.
So just save it and forward it to him. He's just got to find. It's like three clicks.
Sure.
So,
okay.
Yep.
Okay,
74 vacants.
Yep. And then I've got about four or five other bird dogs that I hired, and it's been a couple days. They haven't done anything, so I'm just gonna hire some more tomorrow.
Yep. That's how that works.
Just keep hiring more people. And then I've got about 30 of them skip traced, and I hired two skip tracers. They both did a really good job, and they got them back to me within 24 hours. So I think I'm going to keep them both working. I'm going to start making calls soon, though, so I'll find out who's got better numbers or who possibly has better data.
Yep.
But that's pretty much the update for right now. And
cool. Did you fill out your weekly update?
I did not. I'll do that
this
week, though.
Yeah, please do. It's going to come again Friday, so if you can, get in there today and fill it out real quick. It'll come
again
Friday.
Sure, and then
so.
I did all of step two, kind of after I did step three, I went back and finished step two.
Yep, perfect.
So I'm supposed to go to step four now, or do I still continue with step three?
Yeah, the goal right now, Darren, is 250 vacant leads. Get them all skip traced. So as they come back, tell your skip tracers, send them back to you in chunks so that you can stay on the phone.
So start watching.
Step four is really the talking to sellers. So if you feel like your script needs a little work, then get through that quick because you're going to be on the phone.
Right.
And then step five on the buyer's list, let's get some more leads in hand. Let's get a live deal on the table. We can typically throw together buyers fairly quickly. So.
Okay.
Keep your foot on the gas, and then, like I said, if you want to get Rob's script dialed in, step four. Okay?
Got it. All right.
Beautiful.
Thanks so much.
Yep. Who else chimed in? That was kind of a three-way tie there with Darren.
Just Chad with a quick question to follow up what we were talking about.
Yep.
I just want to get a better understanding of the assignment process.
Okay.
When does the 7K contract with my name on it become a 12K contract for the buyer? Does he bring his own contract, or is that something the title company does? How does that? What does that look like?
So you've got a contract to buy with the seller for $7,000.
Mm-hmm.
What you're going to do? Let's say I'm your buyer. There's a second contract, the assignment agreement, is going to go to the same title company that says, "I'm now the assignee." Wait, a signor and a signee. Let me get my wording straight. It says that your company is going to assign it to mine for a charge of, for a fee of $5,000.
Okay.
And then what that assignment agreement does is it puts me into your place on the contract with the seller for that fee. That makes sense?
Okay. So is that a contract I generate with the buyer, or is that a contract that he generates?
You will.
I will.
Yep.
Okay.
I mean, the buyer could have an assignment agreement, but either way, it's just an assignment agreement with both
okay.
of your names on it.
So,
your company,
so,
his company, and the fee. There's one in, I think there's one in FreedomSoft, a template.
Would it be the same contract that I used with the seller, or a different one?
No, that's a purchase and sale. This is specifically an assignment agreement. Yep. So it looks different.
Hello?
Very easy to fill out. Are you there?
Yeah, I lost you for a second.
Different. That was a purchase and sale agreement.
Okay.
To
so
buy
what,
it.
What
this is an, this is an assignment agreement. I think there's one in FreedomSoft. If not, I'll email you one.
Okay, perfect.
Yep.
Okay, so that's what that looks like. All right, perfect.
But I'm pretty sure, Chad, if you go into FreedomSoft, go to your name at the top, your settings page, and then click templates, and then there are pre-uploaded templates. I'm almost positive assignment agreements at the very top.
Okay, awesome. I'll check that out. I'll follow up with you about that. Okay,
yep,
awesome.
Sounds good. Yep.
All right, thanks.
Yeah, you're welcome. Who else? I know there were a couple more, or at least you had questions.
Yeah, this is John.
This is who?
John.
Hey, John. Is
Ron.
It John?
Ron. Yeah.
Okay, somebody, hey, there's a lot of static coming from somebody's phone. If you're driving or whatever, hit *6 if you're in a noisy place for us. And then you'll mute out. Okay, Ron, go ahead.
I needed to get 40 leads skip traced, and I was wondering if there was an average cost per lead.
You know, yeah, some people are grabbing a group like that and putting a dollar amount on it. They're typically, you know, kind of the consensus has been a good skip tracer can get 15 to 20 done an hour, 12 to 20, somewhere in that price range, and, you know, $6 to $8 an hour. So if we're, you know, 40 leads is probably between 2 and 3 hours worth of work. At the high end of that, you know, $8 an hour, $24, $25.
Oh, okay. Okay, $24, $25. Okay.
Yep. If you're at the upfront part and you're giving it to the same list of 40, which is a good idea, give it to 2 or 3 skip tracers, put a flat fee of maybe $25 to $30 on there, and you know, put in your ad, hey, I've got a sample of 40 leads that I'd like you to skip trace, you know, to see what kind of data comes back, and just put it up as a flat fee ad, and then if that person works out, you can move forward with them at an agreed upon hourly rate.
Oh, okay. Well, I put like $36. I was multiplying 12 times 3 thinking I was going to do 3 different skip traces, but. Yeah. So $24, $25, I can talk to them, see what they say.
Yeah, 6 to 8 an hour. I mean, at the end of the day, we're within, you know, $10 here. So if you get somebody to take it at that and they do a good job for you, fire it up.
Great.
Get them on board. How many vacants do you have at this point, Ron?
Just 40 so far.
Okay. 40 vacants and looking for a skip tracer. Do you still have active bird dogs?
I have one. But that 40 I got myself.
Oh, you did?
Yeah.
Okay, so you don't have...
I ain't doing it again either. I got a bird dog ready to go.
Okay, when are they starting to drive for you?
This week sometime. She didn't say exactly when, but
okay. Put a little incentive on it. Sooner the better, obviously. It's a race to 250, so you have 210 to go. I mean, you're going to go beyond 250, but that's our first goal. So, nice job getting the first 40 in the door.
Thanks.
That's good stuff. So yeah, absolutely. Get a VA on board. Just ask them up front. Say, hey, what tools do you have access to? If they have LexisNexis, TLO, one of the good ones, just get them those leads, pay the $36 for it so we can get you on the phone.
Yeah, she said she has both of those, LexisNexis and TLO.
Perfect.
On her bio.
Yeah, she'll bring back good numbers, as good as you can find. So,
hey, Mike,
that's perfect.
One more question.
Yeah.
You have a moment.
Yeah.
I'm encountering just a ton. This is Judah again. I'm encountering just a ton of
bad emails and bad phone numbers. What was the what did Rob recommend in terms of the skip tracing website?
Yeah, kind of the big dog that has the best stereotype is LexisNexis. TLO is right below that as far as tools. So you just heard Ron say this VA has access to both. So sometimes the VAs will actually pay for the monthly subscriptions, and then that's part of what they bring to the table. Rob does it different. He pays the monthly for TLO. Rob uses TLO, Intellius, and PeopleSmart. He pays for them, and then he trains a VA and says, go do this, and here's my login and password. Both ways work at the end of the day.
Okay, but both of those are monthly subscriptions, not like per search?
Yeah, they work different. They work different, but most of them have like a flat fee where it's unlimited search. It just kind of depends. So if you're gonna have the subscription, you're just gonna want to log into their website and see what they have to offer. Or you find a VA like Ron did that has actually two of the top, LexisNexis and TLO. That person will bring back just about as good of numbers as you can find. Skip tracing. Those are kind of the top two. I think the big three are LexisNexis, TLO, and Intellius.
Okay.
So, yep.
Cool.
Yeah,
thank
Ron,
you.
That's perfect. And they've got access to, you know, LexisNexis is kind of kind of has the reputation for being the top one. So get that person started ASAP on those 40.
Okay.
That's a good find. And then you'll want to say,
This is Esther.
Yep.
I've gone to gosection8.com and put in my zip code, but I don't get any figures, any numbers as to, you know, how many rentals there are out there.
What do you mean you don't get any? You put in 4412, 44112?
Yeah.
So I just clicked on the top one, one bed, one bath apartment, $639 a month, 13715 Terrace Road. And I scroll down, there's a picture, and then it says Brittany Renee, 216-929, and her phone number.
So did you put in an amount?
No.
I asked for a house, and then you asked for a bedroom, one bedroom?
I'm not asking for anything. I went to gosection8.com. There's a search field right on the main page. I typed in 44112 and clicked enter.
Okay, I'll try it again. That's where I went, but that didn't happen. So let me go back.
Yeah, I didn't. I've clicked very few buttons. I'm on gosection8.com. It says find affordable rentals. There's a box you can fill in. It says city, state, or zip. Instead of city, state, well, I just put in a zip. 44112, click enter, and it goes to page one. I'm on page one of 44 listings. And then you have to click into the actual listing to find the name and number. So I just grabbed the fourth one down, Nicole Collins, with her phone number. That's all you have to do.
Okay, I'm going to try it.
Okay, who else?
Okay.
All right, that's a wrap then. Yeah, Esther, let me know if you have any other questions. Shoot me an email, but very, very simple. Just put in the zip on the main page. So, good stuff, everybody. Hey,
I have a question.
Yeah.
So, looking at this GoSection8.
Uh-huh.
Do you use that, or does Rob use that as an indication of good rental cities?
You know, I mean, there are Section 8 rentals is about every city USA.
Not many in Pittsburgh. You look at it, there's 23.
Yeah.
You go to Columbus, Ohio, there's 123.
Yeah, more popular in some places than others, but not necessarily. We use the data that's in the video. We use GoSection8 more for, you know, grab 100 listings off your city and put it in batch geo and see where the different pockets are.
Right.
That's how we use it. So not in us. Not we don't use it for city evaluation. We use ListSource and Realtor.com, just like the video.
Okay.
Yep.
Just wondering.
Yep.
Okay, so and you said that first one that came up was 13715 Terrace Road?
Yeah, 13715 Terrace Road.
Okay, yeah.
So you
okay,
you click on it, and then Brittany Renee's number's on the right-hand side. Yep, scroll down a little bit by the picture. All right, everybody. If you If you have not logged into the coaching center and filled out your weekly update, do that today, please. There's another one coming on Friday. Just get in the habit of that. We'll send out a reminder email on Fridays, but get that. Let's get in the habit. You know, we'll use the data, like you said, to keep you on track, and those are the numbers that you want to track in your business anyway. So great updates, everybody. Great questions. As always, nice job. Questions into the coaching center next couple days, and we'll chat with everyone on Thursday. Have a great couple days, okay? Talk soon.
Thanks. Thank you, Mike.
Yep, see ya. Thank you.